Hi, I'm Brad Blaylock.
And I'm Brad McKeon, and welcome to the Brad Report. Warning, the Brad Report contains spoilers. If you don't know yet why people are asking each other, "Do you bleed?" then turn away now.
That was great, Brad. That was awesome.
The Brad Report can be found on Apple, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Spotify. Please rate and review us. 5 stars only for The Brad Report. Now, we're going to be getting into our episode on the DCEU, the DC Extended Universe Cinematic TV. Brief recap is it begins with Man of Steel. Is going to be our main focus. What began with Zack Snyder's Man of Steel in 2013, then the controversial Batman v Superman, the poorly reviewed and criticized Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, which was amazing, the even more contentious Justice League, followed up by Aquaman, Shazam, and this year's Birds of Prey.
The Birds of Prey emancipation of one Harley Quinn extravagant fabulosa extravaganza.
Exactly. The extravagant extravaganza fallapalooza, if that's a word. But that is the DCEU as we know it. That's the main bulk. Of course, people focus on the movies more than the TV shows. There are so many TV shows out there, and we're going to be not doing a deep dive into any particular one. As we said last week on our MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we're going to be belly flopping into the DCEU. So, Brad, why don't you, is there anything that you want to add over your overall walking into this disposition towards the DCEU? And because you are much more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy.
Well, that's kind of true. I was a DC guy originally. Like, growing up, I liked all the DC stuff better. I thought that like the animated Justice League show when I was a kid, so awesome.
Yeah.
So cool.
So cool.
And I thought all the characters were better. I loved Green Lantern. And just all the DC characters better. And then the movies started coming out, and things changed very quickly for me.
Yeah.
Actually, I shouldn't say quickly. They went downhill after Christopher Nolan left.
So I can already tell we're going to have quite a bit of contention with many of our takes on this week's episode.
Brad, how about you kick us off? What is your favorite movie of the current iteration of the DC movieverse?
Okay, so are we including or excluding Christopher Nolan's movies?
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't
okay.
Count.
I think, well, before we get into the it doesn't count, The Dark Knight with Christian Bale, Heath Ledger, Christopher Nolan is one of the most fantastic superhero movies of all time.
Oh, it's great.
Absolutely. So preface that here. So I really loved Man of Steel. I loved Man of Steel a lot. And that came out in the summer of 2013. And that summer, I was in India for an internship for 3 months. So I didn't get to watch any movies that came out that summer. And I had to wait until it came out on DVD. Because usually with my brothers, we would go to all of these kinds of superhero movies together in the theaters. It's just something that we had of a tradition because we grew up loving Superman, Batman, those animated shows. And I remember the anticipation could not have been higher for me. And I went in and I absolutely loved it. I love seeing the action. I loved Henry Cavill as Clark Kent and Superman. I thought it was great. And I still return to it again and again. It's beautifully shot. And I just really enjoy the story with Russell Crowe does a great job as Jor-El. Costner does a great job as Jonathan Kent. I thought the whole thing, in general, Zod, Michael Shannon, he's fantastic.
I love Michael Shannon.
He's so awesome. He does a great job as the villain. I think the whole thing was really well done. What about you?
So my favorite movie is actually Shazam.
It's a good one. Did we see that one together too? I think we did.
We might have seen it because I saw this movie two times. So we might have seen it my second time together. Because I remember the first time, after I texted you after, because I loved it so much, I texted you about it. But Shazam is great. It is, I mean, it does one of my favorite things for like origin stories. It kept the stakes kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you had the like seven deadly sins they're fighting, but it kind of localized them to just that theme park, like Carnival Row ish fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, the world wasn't ending, it wasn't this big thing. It was a really fun movie. The kid actors, the young actors were really good.
They were and excellent.
It's always like a nerve wracking thing when your movie revolves around children, because children suck most of the time. Most of the time they're just not good actors.
Oh my gosh.
They're not. Most of the time they're not good. Like, I mean, we watched Artemis Fowl a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that kid, God bless him,
but he's just, I mean, just deadpan. These kids were really good.
Yeah.
Like, they're really enjoyable.
Really, really good.
It was very funny. The strip club scene is very funny.
Yeah.
You know, because Shazam is, what is it, 15-year-old.
Yeah, the gas station scene, super funny. Yeah, the beer.
I'll take some of your best beer. And the attendant just kind of points him in the direction of the cooler. Like, what are you doing, weirdo?
Yeah.
So, really good movie. And I didn't expect it. I didn't expect the movie to be that good. I didn't know a ton about Shazam going into it, but really enjoyed it. And also had some good themes. You know, it talked about family a lot, right? He was an orphan.
One of the most gut-wrenching scenes in all of the DC movies.
Which one?
When he finally finds his mom, and he grew up his whole life thinking she just lost me and couldn't find me.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, I left you.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Just gut wrenching.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough for sure. But yeah, just a good movie. And he kind of finds his family, and I didn't expect them to introduce the entire, you know, Shazam family, right? All the rest of his powered friends or family. That was really cool. They also had a mention or reference to Black Adam, which is coming in the pipes. But
with
the Rock,
which will be awesome.
They actually referenced it in the movie. You know, when he was talking to the wizard mentioned how the first person took the power and used it for evil. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. It wasn't a perfect movie. There was some weird stuff, but overall, very good. Very fun.
Yeah. So, out of all these movies, who is the favorite character that you have?
Oh man. So that's tough. When I was
tell me why. Why are they your favorite?
When I was a kid, my favorite DC character or DC character by a mile was Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they just never made a Green Lantern movie. You know, people tell me that doesn't exist. It's not real. You know, people have told me about it. Said it had a good actor. I don't believe it existed.
You know, something interesting that happened when I first, of course, like, what can you believe on the internet these days? I saw when Zack Snyder, like, and we'll get into this later with the Snyder Justice League cut.
Oh gosh.
That there were rumors going around that Ryan Reynolds may be in talks to reprise as Green Lantern. But I don't think that's true because Ryan Reynolds said, like, after Deadpool, he's like, I'm never playing another superhero character.
In Deadpool, they even made fun of.
Yeah. And
they made fun of him playing, absolutely. You know, Green Lantern.
So I don't think there was any stock in that whatsoever.
Anyway, my favorite character in this new universe might be Harley Quinn. So Suicide Squad, awful movie. Mm-hmm. Wasn't good. Harley Quinn was like the one redeeming, like, part of the movie. She was very funny. Margot Robbie kills it. And Birds of Prey, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I really liked Birds of Prey, and I liked Harley Quinn in that. And I think we could get more of her, just less Joker, especially that iteration of the Joker. Just kill it off. It's dead. Don't want to see it again.
Oh, man.
And so
what are your thoughts about the Ayer cut that they said there's a Ayer cut, kind of like there's a Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. There's an Ayer cut of Suicide Squad that is completely, and the tone is completely different. And then there were about 40 minutes of Joker content that was cut because after the bad reception to Batman v Superman, they're like, we got to turn this into a comedy. We got to do what Marvel does. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, will we ever see it? Does it exist? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know if I want more minutes of that Joker, right? Like, you saw the scene where the Joker, and he had the knives all around him, circled around him.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the weird tattoos. And I don't know if I want more minutes of that Joker.
Here's the thing. If you had more minutes, you think you would be able to understand him better. I know we're digressing a little bit and we're getting out of our outline, but I'm wanting to press in on this.
I mean, maybe you could understand him more, but that's like saying you could understand trash more. Trash is trash. And
wow.
You might learn.
You have strong feelings.
You might learn. You know, if you open up the garbage and spend more time with it, you might learn more about what's in the garbage.
Strong feelings.
All right, who's your favorite character?
Okay, so mine's a toss-up. Like, I mean, you mentioned the animated Batman and Superman and Justice League shows. Like, I didn't really love Superman as much as I loved Batman, and I thought it was a really cool and interesting take because we're so familiar with all of the Batman movies and all of the Batman stories, and of the two characters that get animated shows the most, Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah,
because it's so easy to use those characters, and taking, instead of just like starting from scratch with like so many origin stories, like, no, this Batman's been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
And using the audience's knowledge of just Batman lore to their advantage. So I think having a super jaded Batman, Bruce Wayne, that Ben Affleck, like, pulled it off really well, in my opinion. I know you disagree.
No, he was fine.
You say that like it was fine. Period. Not, it was fine, exclamation point.
I mean,
because, okay, here's the thing. Like, I think, like, in the animated shows, we see, like, Superman crashing through all these buildings, and there's never any cost to it because it's a kid's show.
Mm.
But then when you get to an adult and he's crashing through all these buildings, you're like, holy smokes, like, people are getting killed. And taking a Batman that we love and just, like, altering him and making him jaded, and, like, this is what Batman would look like if he loses his hope in sense that, like, hey, like, what I'm doing is going to make a difference. And it's just like, he's strayed from that path. And that's why he started killing people. That's why he's done all these things where just like, holy crap, this isn't Batman. And you're like, you're right. It's not. It's a jaded, distorted Batman. And I appreciated that. And that they were taking it in that direction. So, but that That's also fair. Kind of leads to my favorite scene and quote. I really thought it was well done in Batman v Superman, how when they're, first of all, the Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition that's on HBO Max is miles better than what we saw in theaters. Miles and miles better. The Ultimate Cut, it adds so much more, so many more scenes, so much more to Clark's story and how he's investigating Batman and Gotham. And when they're at the party together, there's no, even though they don't say it, both of them understand who the other person is fully. And this whole kind of like ridiculousness of like, that you grow up, you're like, oh, they don't know who they are. They've got a secret identity. And even Lex Luthor, it's obvious that like Lex Luthor knows who both of them are. And when Bruce Wayne says, oh, you know, we've just got a bad history of freaks dressed up like clowns. Like, I thought that was such a good line. And it brings in so much of like the history that like we know who he's talking about. And we know he's directly comparing Superman to the Joker, which is crazy when you think about it in like the history of the comics, but like that's just how jaded he is. And then when they finally get to fight, Bruce Wayne, Batman says, he's like, well, I'm here. Like, hey, you want a piece of me? Come get some. So those are probably my favorite scenes and quotes that just stand out to me the most.
All right. Yeah, that's great. So my favorite quotes. So this is one of my favorite quotes right here. And it's from Shazam. And it's a dialogue between Freddie and Billy Batson.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so funny. I'm just going to read it because it's great. Oh, it's a long way down. Trust me, I speak from experience. Victor pushed me. They seem nice, but don't buy it. It gets real Game of Thrones around here. What? Dude, I'm just messing around. It's terminal cancer. I have 3 months. This awkward silence. And Freddie goes, I'm kidding. You look at me and you're like, why so dark? You're a disabled foster kid. You've got it all, right?
That is good.
And that's like one of the first interactions that Billy has with Freddie in mm-hmm. in the foster family. It just sets the tone for this kind of like, it's like slightly sarcastic, you know, just
yeah,
slightly dark humor. That just kind of makes the movie so great. A couple other ones from Wonder Woman specifically. So I love the scene when the Nazi soldiers are kind of storming the beaches
mm-hmm.
of the Amazons. And it's just really interesting. So you have the American played by
Chris Pine.
Yeah. And who is coming in. His plane crashes inside the like, illusion bubble, whatever you call it. I don't know what specific
the name air is. Bubble,
right? The magic bubble. The
NBA is in right now.
Yeah, the NBA, the Disney bubble.
He
crashes into the Disney bubble, and then the Nazis are looking for him, and they come in and they storm the beaches, and they're coming on the beaches with their guns, and then these Amazon women just come out of nowhere with their spears and their bows and their swords. And for one, it's the first time that Diana has seen death or war, really. Right? She's been, I mean, obviously she's been training forever.
Mm-hmm.
She has tons of experience fighting, especially fighting with swords and stuff like that. But one of the Amazon women gets shot in the stomach, and it kind of slow-mos on that. And you can kind of see in her eyes, she's like, oh, wait, you know, this isn't training anymore. And it's just a great scene. It's really cool. That's a great one. Another one from Wonder Woman is the first time she flies, there's this really awesome Hans Zimmer mm-hmm. score going behind it. Ah, Hans Zimmer's great.
He's
fantastic.
He's fantastic.
I mean, but this...
He can almost do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh, he's awesome. And the score is just blaring behind it, and she starts flying for the first time. It's fantastic. And one more, and I guess this is another Wonder Woman quote, but when they're in the trenches for the first time with her and Chris Pine's character, because she begged him to take her to war
mm-hmm.
because she wanted to find Ares, and he eventually agrees to it. So he takes her, and they're in the trenches, and she's trying to convince him to go with her to save these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her, you know, we can't do that. This is war. We can't save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, but it's what I'm going to do. And then she jumps out. And
that scene, like, arguably the best movie in the DCEU now.
It's definitely the most, like, well, like, technically good movie. Yeah. Like, well made.
Yeah, Patty Jenkins does an amazing job.
Yeah, the cinematography is great. The movie looks really good. That's another thing about the DCEU. This was, like, the first movie that had a little bit of color in it. And that's true. I don't mean, like, metaphor. I mean, like, literal color. Like, before... I don't mean like a metaphor. Like,
oh, man.
Literally, every movie before, it's like the only colors they knew were available were black and gray. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, that movie looks so great. The story was nice. It flowed really well. I mean, the actors and actresses were great. Action scenes look great. Hans Zimmer crushed it. which he always does. Yeah, that's probably the most technically good movie.
Yeah. I think I have to back up a little bit because I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention Ezra Miller's Barry Allen and Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
We'll talk about, I'm going to talk about Aquaman in a little bit.
Okay. We'll pick it up then.
So you can talk about Flash if you'd like, but I'm going to talk about Aquaman in just a second.
Okay. Well, I mean, Barry Allen, like his character, the way just in Justice League, his awkward humor is just so funny to me. Like the scene, just like his facial expression alone, when they're trying to detain Superman and Superman looks at him and his face of just like, oh my goodness, this has never happened to me before. I'm in big, big trouble. It like, and you just see that all in his face. It's super funny. And then his conversation with Bruce Wayne and how he throws the batarang at him. He dodges, he looks at it. And then in a second, just realizes turning back to him who he is. And then like, oh wait, what are your superpowers again? And then you get the iconic line, I'm rich. Wish I had that superpower.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think is the most overrated movie in the DC? And this is a tough question.
Really hard question because everything the reaction to everything has been so mediocre.
You're right.
And that nothing's really well liked. I have a really hard time with this question because Wonder Woman is legitimately amazing. And so I think most of the movies would fit into the underrated category. If there were anything like the way that I see them. But overrated, I have not seen Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. So I can't speak to that. So I really come up blank on this question. And we talked about it earlier, and you said you definitely had an answer for it. And I think, okay, I'm gonna wait. I have a guess for what your answer is.
No, guess.
So I'm going to say that it's a trick answer and that you're going to...
It's not a trick.
Oh, it's not a trick. No, okay, I was going to say... Your overrated answer was Zack Snyder's Justice League.
No.
Because you said to me one time that, like, look, if there was a semi-decent movie out there, that they would have put it out. But they didn't have it. And we got this garbage mess that we did with the Justice League.
I still believe that. I still think that's true. But I think the most overrated movie in DCEU is Aquaman.
Okay.
So I did not like Aquaman.
Okay.
And just looking at it now, so Aquaman has a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 74% on the user rating, and it has on IMDb, it has a solid rating of 7.0.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. So for me, Aquaman... And I'm not going to make fun of, like, the character of Aquaman, like, you know, because some people are like, oh,
he talks to fish.
It's like, well, no, Aquaman's, he's a pretty cool, he's super strong.
Yeah.
He's technically trained. And so even, like, you take away any of his aquatic abilities.
He's an amazing
fighter. He's still, like, a super strong fighter. Yeah, so like, he's a cool character. Plus, he has the added, like, aqua abilities, which can come in handy in certain specific situations. So he's a
very particular set of skills.
I'm saying he is a good character, but this movie is just kind of like reckless world building.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. I will suspend disbelief for anything you want me to.
Anything.
In a movie, sure. You tell me that birds fly backwards and pigs breathe nitrogen and I'm all in. You tell me whatever you want, and I'm all in. I'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the 2 hours of the movie. But once you establish the rules, I need you to follow your own rules.
Okay.
So the Atlanteans, it said they can't breathe oxygen. The Mara can breathe oxygen. And
they explained that, though.
Not well.
They said the nobility can breathe oxygen.
Oh, my gosh.
You missed that part. Okay, the reason why I remember that is because I watched this movie last week.
Why did you watch Aquaman last week?
I was in Colorado with my family, and some of my family hadn't seen it, and they're like, hey, let's watch Aquaman. And they specifically say nobility can breathe oxygen.
Well, I missed that. And that's
so amazing. I expect a full apology.
I will not apologize.
With a tweet to Jason Momoa.
I will not apologize, and I will not tweet Jason Momoa. I still don't like the movie. It also, I didn't think it looked that great either.
Really?
No, like the stupid water plasma guns. Like those bolts looked like a original trilogy Star Wars blaster shot.
See, there is some. I mean, I definitely have some issues with the movie as well. I think Amber Heard as Mira was left a lot to be desired. In terms of her performance and some of the lines that were given, especially like when they're in the desert and there are just some like kind of lines that are supposed to be funny, but they just come across as like really forced. Like the line that says, if you're the hope for Atlantis, we're all doomed, right as he falls into the tunnel going to the underground kind of like cavern area. And then when she takes the water from him to like activate the message, she's like, oh, you do your best thinking when you're not thinking at all. Like both of those lines together, they just seemed really forced, and maybe it was just bad script writing, but I did not appreciate. I mean, I didn't really like her performance, wasn't that great to me. And I thought the chemistry between her and Jason Momoa wasn't electric. So, and there have been rumors about her being like, obviously she's gotten to some issues with her former husband, Johnny Depp, which I don't really feel like commenting on, but there are rumors going around that she'll be recast for Aquaman 2. So fingers crossed, Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones will be recast as Mira, which we all know that she and Jason Momoa have a history. And that I think she would be a great Mira because she's a fantastic actress.
Yeah, that could work for sure. Hey, did Volko wasn't nobility, was he?
Yes.
Was he? He was the royal advisor, right? Is that nobility?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was supposed to be in Justice League as well, but his role got cut.
Darn.
Such a hater, man.
I'm not a hater.
See, we are going to, when Zack Snyder's Justice League comes out, we are going to sit down, we are going to watch it, and we are going to do another review.
I hope it's great.
And I am going to say, like, and I'm going to pick out every single time. It's like, now, Brad, tell Zack Snyder you're sorry.
I hope that is a great movie.
Okay.
But we'll see. All right, so what movie do you think is underrated? Because you said most of them, you think.
Yeah, I think
so
most of them.
Pick one that you think is the most.
I think like Man of Steel, when people are just like.
It has a really bad Rotten Tomatoes score.
Have you
ever looked at that? It's a 56. It's
not
fresh.
Which I thought was ridiculous.
Well, it has a 75 on the audience score. And I know that Rotten Tomatoes isn't perfect, but.
I remember when it came out, people were going up in arms about like, oh, all of this death and destruction. And you're not. How can you just like put that on film and glorify it and da, 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 da. And like then you get Star Wars, The Force Awakens the next year, and not only do they destroy a planet, they destroy a system of planets, and nobody bats an eye like, oh man, so much death and destruction. Like, and so I thought that criticism was unfair, and I thought it got a lot of bad backlash. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think the development of Clark Kent and Superman is just kind of like he's got all of this power and all of this responsibility, and he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this? He starts out as this guy that's just – he's just traveling around. He finds work wherever he can, and when these situations come up, then he decides to act. And as his history comes towards himself and like learns more about his past, he's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Presumably he's in his 30s. And yeah, he's in his 30s and he's lived his whole life trying to figure out who he is. And then he finds this spaceship from his homeworld. He starts to talk to his dad and he's starting to take up this mantle of this hero. And right when that happens, people that are actually from his homeworld come to Earth, and they come, instead of this message of like, hey, you're one of us, we accept you, we're, you belong to us, like we're part of a family, we can relate to you, because if we're living on this earth, we'll be exactly like you. No, they come and they want to destroy. They want to rule, which goes against everything that he believes and he holds dear. And he fights them. He starts to take side with the people and the homeworld that is alien to himself. And that is what I think is super compelling. And it sets up really well for Batman v Superman, where has all this power. The world knows about him. And they have all these expectations of, what are you going to do with it? And especially in the Ultimate Edition of the Justice League, it shows just how much...
You mean Batman v Superman?
Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman. It shows how much he just wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he just... Everything he does, people are criticizing him. He's receiving backlash for any and every decision that he makes. He's just a guy that is given an incredible gift, but he just wants to do the right thing, and he doesn't know what that is anymore. Yeah. So that's why I think Man of Steel is underrated. I think it sets up Batman v Superman really well. It was disserviced in all that they had to cut, but the Ultimate Edition that's on HBO Max is really, really fantastic. What is your most underrated movie?
So I have to, I chose Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn movie. And it's a weird one to choose as underrated because it's pretty well received by everyone who's seen it, right? It has a high audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, a high critic score. Its IMDb rating isn't terrible, which is, you know, its user rating isn't terrible. But the problem is no one really saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's opening weekend box office wasn't that great, and then COVID came like a month after it opened and kind of cut its legs out from under it, and so it just, I don't know, it didn't have a great chance to get a lot of people to see it. But it's fun. There's a lot of campy violence, which I really enjoy. It can be a little over the top at times, but mostly it's pretty well done. I love the aesthetic style of that movie. It just looks really fun and cool. There's a lot of bright colors and cool costumes. Margot Robbie.
Some would argue that it's the first DC movie to actually use color.
No, the first one was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's
first
right.
First one was
that's
Wonder
right.
Woman.
That's right.
Margot Robbie is great, and all of the supporting women in that movie are great. Her cast around her is fantastic. The action scenes were really cool. And so, yeah, I think it's a movie that it won't be underrated in a month or two when more people watched it. Because you said it's coming on HBO Max, right?
Yeah. I believe mid-August.
Okay. Yeah, so in a couple of months, I don't think it will be underrated. But it just needs people to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be one of those people to watch it. So transitioning here a little bit, switching gears to TV shows. We've got The Arrow, we've got The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, Constantine, Doom Patrol, Titans, Stargirl now, and then some of the things that you've mentioned that technically aren't even in the DC universe proper, like Watchmen or Preacher. And so I haven't watched Watchmen or Preacher, but one of the things that I think I would critique DC of that I think Marvel did well with their Netflix shows is like, we're going to limit this to 13 episodes and we're going to do a really, really good job. Instead of trying to do 22 or 23 40-minute episodes, and just like extending it out. And the older I get, the more I say, the more you, more content you produce, the more it has to go down in quality, I think, in terms of like a 22 episode season. Very rarely do you get like a 22 episode season that's phenomenal. For Arrow was on for what, 8 seasons? You're going to have some missteps. And so I think one of the things is that DC has now remedied in Infinite Crisis, as they said, like there's a multiverse. It's all connected. It's all just alternate realities of the similar Earths and similar universes with similar characters. And some certain characters show up in this area, but not in others. And that's they emphasize that specifically, how the movies were connected to the TV shows, that Ezra Miller's The Flash from Justice League had a conversation with Grant Gustin's The Flash from the TV show in a crossover event. What is your take on overall the DC shows?
Yeah, so I think DC has been more consistent with their quality in TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is because it's not just Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there are other networks who have, you know, like purchased the rights to do various things, and it's great. And so I think, so in terms of favorite shows, so you mentioned a couple of them. I love the Watchmen season. Dave Lindelof was fantastic, and I don't think we're going to get another season of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is Lindelof kind of said he had a story to tell, and he told it, and it's kind of the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
Which stinks, because it's phenomenal. But I'd rather have one great season than 3 seasons of, you know, mediocre. So
yeah,
I'll take it. Preacher is one of my favorite shows, just period. It has four seasons. And it's a great show. It's just super – it's so campy. And, I mean, just over the top and ridiculous. And I don't know. It's a great show. It's not for...
Not for kids.
Not for kids. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I would watch if you're very sensitive about a lot of stuff, especially like religious things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's called Preacher.
Yeah.
And it's over the top, violent, and gory. And you can probably take it from there. But great show. But in terms of things that are connected, right? So you mm-hmm. mentioned that they do have, there's a DC like TV universe, especially mm-hmm. with like Arrow and stuff like that. In terms of things that are connected that I love the show Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently on Netflix. The next season is coming out soon. I believe it comes out in August. I think August 21st is the date that it drops. And it's a great show. It's funny. It's really funny. Lucifer is hilarious. It's kind of a buddy cop show.
Yeah.
Between him and his partner. And because the gist of the show is that Lucifer, the actual Lucifer, you know, devil, mm-hmm. Satan, he comes to Earth because he's tired of hell. And he buys a nightclub and runs a nightclub. And eventually, through some just like series of events, he meets this detective. And the detective is the only person that doesn't fall to his like charms and powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people naturally love him, and he can get them to tell them their deepest desires,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff. But it doesn't work on her, and she's the only human that it's ever not worked on. And so, you know, naturally he's curious about her. Then mm-hmm. romance builds.
Ooh, and intrigue.
Romance builds. An
independent woman meets a more independent man.
Yeah. Exactly, right? It's great, and love that show. It's interesting you talked about the seasons and how many episodes they have. So I was looking it up when you mentioned that. So season 1 of Lucifer has 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 has 18. Season 3 has 26 episodes.
Really?
Season 4, only 10.
That's quite a variation.
And season right there. 5, according to this right here, this website says season 5 is going to have 16, but that doesn't sound right from what I remembered hearing last time. So Don't quote me on that, but that's just what this random website tells me. But yeah, Lucifer is great. It's definitely my favorite of the ones that are connected. Another DC show that me and you just started watching, Doom Patrol. Mm-hmm. We only watched, three episodes?
Yeah, not for everyone either.
I loved those two episodes.
Yeah.
It was quirky and funny, and the story got me interested, right? Like, I mean, some of it's just, you know, just silliness, right? Like, there's a wormhole inside of a donkey.
Yeah.
Or the equivalent of a wormhole, right? They travel to an extra dimension inside of a donkey.
Yeah.
But, you know, just weird. But, like, the story was very interesting. Like, I want to know more about
the characters and
like that fractured man. And so that's another show that I think will make this list if we did this episode 2 months from now.
Yeah.
What about you?
So I think I'm kind of going away from the DC universe and saying like the Justice League animated show.
Fantastic.
And Justice League Unlimited. And so I think that my two favorite characters, like Flash, has some legitimate hilarious lines in that show. He's just a funny character. Batman is great. Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and Michael Rosenbaum does the Flash, and he's Lex Luthor in Smallville. Like, they just do a great job, and there are a lot of super fun storylines, and there's so much more that you can do just in animated things. That's just like the budget is exactly the same to do like a weird time travel heist. Like, there's this Batman and Green Lantern fight this time travel villain, and they end up jumping across. They end up going back into the Wild West one episode. And then that same episode, they end up propelling into the future, and Bruce meets him, his older self, and the Batman Beyond era. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just super, super fun. It gets your imagination going. And I love it. There's so many scenes from those shows that I can picture in my mind even now. I'm just like, oh man, I remember when I first watched that and how cool that was. But I think that's where it is for me. I'm excited. I've wanted to watch Titans, never got around to it. I think I watched the first four seasons of Arrow, and I watched the first two seasons of The Flash. And then after a while, I'm just like, I'm just not into this anymore. I just kind of got fatigued by
that. That happened with me and the, DC Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I watched a couple, and I was just like, I feel like
the fake drama that they build up between characters, I'm like, I don't really need this.
What was it that, I think it was from Arrow, like a few months ago, you're telling me that something really annoyed you. You're like, people just don't talk like this.
Yeah. So I think it was Oliver and Diggle, who's his bodyguard that he kind of brings into his confidences early, that like, hey, I'm this vigilante guy. And there's one scene where, I think this trope gets played out so overplayed, and Diggle is confronting Oliver about something, or vice versa. It could really go with any of the characters, that there's like a conflict or like a confidence, and like one of them's keeping something hidden from the other, and the other one confronts them on it. It's like, you have to tell me, you owe me. And it's just like, I'm just like, people don't talk like that. And it's like, and if I legitimately don't want to tell you something, I'm like, I don't want to tell you.
Right.
Like, you know what would happen if this were not a PG show? Like, a character would just say, like, hey, just, like, go kick rocks, you know? Like, I'm not going to tell you anything. And so I think that was, like, that's not – and I, of course, like, oh, this is a movie – this is a TV show about a guy that dresses up and shoots a bow and arrow at people, and you're complaining about the dialogue.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, the dialogue is what grounds it, you know? I have to believe that these are real people in these situations. That's what grounds like comics and fantastical fantasy sci-fi stories, is that regardless of how fantastical the situation is, that this is a real person that's experiencing this. So that's my soapbox for like bad dialogue and bad fake drama. I think the next thing that I have on our outline is video games. And unless I'm skipping something.
Like favorite scenes.
Oh, favorite scenes. Yeah. So I think for me, my favorite scenes definitely have to be with the Justice League show.
Yeah.
The end of the Justice League show when the Flash like defeats Lex Luthor when he merged with Brainiac. If you haven't seen it, you just got to go watch
it. Yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic because so many characters are like, okay, Superman's going to save the day. Batman's going to save the day. Maybe even Wonder Woman or Green Lantern. But like the guy that's the comic relief, the Flash, mm-hmm. you're like,
he saves the day.
He saves the day.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular.
Yeah. One of my favorites from the Lucifer show, which you can find on Netflix. And now it's considered a Netflix original because the newer seasons are coming out on Netflix, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. But there is a scene where Kane enters into the show and becomes one of the bad guys. Like Cain from the Bible.
Ooh.
yeah. Well, that's another thing. So DC, like, ton of like biblical characters are just like in DC comics. Like Gabriel, Michael, like, they're all DC. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a whole different thing.
They're real characters. They're not DC characters.
Okay. Brad. But you know what I mean. But Cain enters in and he becomes like the bad guy for the season, essentially.
Yeah.
And at the very end of it, Lucifer fights Cain. And so fun thing about Lucifer, he's immortal. Mm-hmm. He's invincible. You can't hurt him mm-hmm. unless his detective partner, Chloe, is around. There's something fishy going on with her. When she's around him, he can be shot. And so that's kind of like a running bit that the whole thing, like he's always honest with her. He tells her that he's Lucifer from the very moment that she meets him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm Lucifer Morningstar. You know, and she kind of laughs. He's like, no, for real. But she doesn't believe him, you know. And then at one point, he just kind of walks, like saunters in front of somebody and gets shot because he doesn't believe he can get shot, but he does. And so towards the end of season four, he fights Cain. And it's just this like big battle, right? Cain's kind of this like criminal mastermind and mm-hmm. all these minions. But Lucifer takes Chloe far away from the battle and goes back to fight Cain. So he's invincible
mm-hmm.
and just like kicks the crap out of everyone. And Lucifer's true face is on, right? So his face turns from like the handsome actor to like this CGI devil face. You know, mm-hmm. it's like face is like molten lava type of deal. And what he doesn't know is after he's killed Cain, he's like standing over him. Chloe walks in, Detective Chloe, and she sees his face for the first time.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, you know, she's just like, she's speechless, right? And because she realizes that, oh, this guy's been honest from the very moment I met him. He really is who he says he is.
For a morning star.
Right.
The devil.
And so that's just one of my favorite moments from that show.
Yeah. So would he be your favorite character as well, or would it be
a
Preacher?
Yeah. So the thing about Preacher that's really weird, I love the show Preacher. And Dominic Cooper, who's the actor that portrayed Preacher, was really good and played the role very well. You didn't really love the character Preacher,
mm-hmm.
right? I love the show. I didn't really want that character to win necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like one of the premises of the show is that like everyone sucks.
Yeah.
Like there are no real heroes. Everyone sucks.
Yeah.
Including like the main characters. And he had some moments of redemption, obviously, because you know, you have to.
You have to.
But I mean, you didn't like love him.
Yeah.
At least I didn't.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think my favorite character would definitely be probably the Flash or Batman from the animated TV show. If I had to pick one from a live action show, man.
Would you say Oliver from Arrowverse?
Yeah, I mean, there are some parts where it's just like, that I really enjoyed about him, but then I was just like, other times, like, man, you're being so whiny. Like,
yeah.
Stop being so whiny. Like, you're a rich kid, and you chose to be a superhero. Like, get it together. So I don't know. I think I'm pulling up a blank on that. Unfortunately, so. But yeah, as I was saying earlier, I guess it's time to, I mean, we can briefly talk about video games because there's only one major video game series.
That's, oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
So good. The Arkham games. I'm assuming that's.
Yeah, that's the only thing worth. That's the only thing worth talking about.
I don't know if there's others, but that game, those games are so good. So let's see.
There's actually a rumor.
There's a new one coming out.
Yeah, that DC fandom is going to announce. They're going to be announcing apparently a ton of stuff. And then one of the new things is that they're going to do a new Batman Arkham game.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think that's.
Or maybe not an Arkham game, but a new Batman game.
No, I think it's Arkham. I don't think it's rumored.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up. So there are three Arkham games currently.
No, there's more than that, right?
The three main
Asylum,
ones. Asylum, City,
Origins, Knight.
Oh, Knight. Sorry, yeah. Forgot about Knight. Do you have a favorite?
Arkham City was so good.
Is that when they introduced the Batmobile?
No, that was Arkham Knight. That was the most recent one.
Was Knight when they introduced it? Okay.
So Arkham Knight was like Arkham Asylum. You're in the asylum, obviously. Yeah. Arkham City is when they introduced the first like huge city map.
Yeah, it's a big map.
And it was awesome. I just remember gliding around and it being so much fun. Origins has the same map, but extends it. It makes it bigger, but it also goes back to the beginning of like Batman's first year when he first meets the Joker. And then so you have Arkham Asylum. Arkham Knight is immediately after that. Then you go back to Arkham Origins, the beginning of Batman's journey, and then Arkham Knight is essentially the end. And the spoilers is that the Arkham Knight is actually Jason Todd, who is the Red Hood. He confronts him, and then his identity is made public that he's actually Bruce Wayne. So yeah. I'm kind of curious as to where they're going to go with this.
So WB, Warner Bros. Montreal, which is who's making the game, they've started teasing it, and they tweeted something, and this is like a year ago they tweeted this, but still, I mean, it stands. They tweeted Capture the Night. And so a lot of people think that this next game is going to be kind of centered around like, because, you know, in various parts of the Batman story, Gotham goes through phases where Batman, oh, actually Batman is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Let's chase Batman. And so a lot of people think that's going to be kind of the context of this next game, where Gotham is in one of those phases where Batman is the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of on the run. You're kind of on the run from these people trying to figure stuff out. And so
I think you're assuming that it's going to be early on, kind of like Arkham Origins in his story, where they kind of like prop him up as the bad guy, or maybe even Batman Year One, where he like he first comes on the scene.
Yeah, or they could write a new story specific just to the video games.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be a Batman is considered the bad guy type of game. Which will be, I think, really fun, really interesting.
Yeah, that will be really cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I love playing those games. They're super, super fun.
So WB Montreal is the same studio that developed Arkham Origins, which is actually different from Asylum, City, and Knight.
Okay.
Different. It's a different studio. Those were developed by Rocksteady Studio, and WB Montreal developed Origins.
Okay.
And so WB Montreal is the one that's developing this new game, apparently.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So what else are you looking forward to? I know you're looking forward to the Snyder Cut on HBO Max. Is there anything? Oh, my goodness. Look, I hope the Snyder Cut is great. I really do. I hope it's a fantastic movie. I hope it revolutionizes superhero movies for ages.
Hey, one can only hope, right?
It'd be great.
So I think, I mean, and we've talked about this several times, and I recently rewatched, as I mentioned before, the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman. And then I was really curious because all the Snyder Cut information had come out about the Justice League and all of those things. And then Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg, even accusing of Joss Whedon and Jeff Jones and one of the other producers of like abusing the cast. And just kind of like looking back at the first Comic-Con trailer when Zack Snyder was making a cut of Justice League, he was still in charge. And then looking at the first just Justice League trailer number one with Come Together playing in the background, there were so many scenes in that trailer that were nowhere to be seen in the movie, the final cut of Justice League. And I want it to be excellent. I want it to be good. I'm really excited for it. I also think that it's really exciting that they're doing they're kind of leaning into the multiverse with rumors of Michael Keaton being cast as an older Batman.
In Flash.
Yeah, right? Flash. And they were even suggesting, like, well, if we don't get him, we want to go after Christian Bale.
Oh,
like that was really cool to hear. And just like kind of how they lean into that. I'm really excited about that. And I really hope that Zack Snyder has his vision like fulfilled. And one of the things that I think is like, you don't see this, the level and the number of actors coming behind him and supporting this director and his vision as you have seen. Like, you just don't see that ever. Like, J.K. Simmons, who played Commissioner Gordon, said, whatever I need to do to get the final version done, I'm going to do it. Like, Ben Affleck is in renegotiations after he walked away from Batman. And, like, Jason Momoa, he's a huge Zack Snyder fan. He's been, like, from day one, like, hey, this Snyder cut is real. And so that's what I'm really excited for. Just to real quick say what I'm anxious about is there are heard rumors that there's going to be a DC rebirth. And that storyline is that basically a clean slate. It was recently in the comics, a clean slate. They start over and reset everything. And said that there's going to be a DC rebirth movie.
Oh, gosh.
And so they basically absolutely reset everything that we've already seen and basically start over again. And I just think there are better ways to go about it than completely starting over.
A rebirth.
A rebirth.
I mean, the thing about DC is like they have some really good stuff. And some really bad stuff, but it just seems like the leadership from the very tip top of DC. I don't even know who their
Jeff Jones is supposed to be like producing it, and he's one of the guys that was in charge of like hiring Joss Whedon and in charge of the rewrites and the reshoots for Justice League. And so, if there's a rebirth movie, I will not be seeing it, which that pains me to say because. Like we said before, I want them to do well. But I think just starting over from scratch after only being 8 movies in, like even Marvel had some flubs.
Yeah.
At the beginning and throughout where you're just like, it was okay. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
And you just kind of like, all right, well, we're going to keep going and we're going to make them better.
Yeah. That just sounds so tiresome. Oh, man. So here's some things I'm excited for. I'm very excited for the new Wonder Woman movie coming out. What are they calling it? 1984. That should be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman 1 was fantastic. Loved it. Gal Gadot was great. Patty Jenkins is fantastic. Can't wait to see the next movie as well. Chris Pine, also really good in that.
Oh, he's really enjoyed him. Really good.
The scene with Diana and I can't remember Chris Pine's character name, but
Steve Trevor.
Okay, great. Steve Trevor. So the scene with Steve and Diana in like the,
in the cave,
the cave.
Oh, like, so funny.
Bath scene.
Yeah. This is so
good. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that. I'm nervously excited about Suicide Squad 2.
James Gunn is directing it.
That's the thing. Suicide Squad was horrible. Guardians of the Galaxy.
So good.
So good. And so if anyone can turn that around, Guardians of the Galaxy is literally just a group of characters no one cares about or didn't care about until James Gunn took them. kind of the same deal with Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that he can turn it around. Yeah,
I think you will. And if you look at like the IMDb of some of the characters, like Polka Dot Man, like I think they I really hope they kind of like, and there's like a javelin, a guy, his superpower is to throw a javelin.
Why they lean into
it. Yeah, they're leaning into like, this is ridiculous. And so I'm kind of hoping almost for like a Deadpool 2 where they like amass these characters and just like,
yeah.
Immediately they're like, they just get rid of a bunch of them because like they're a bunch of losers that nobody really cares about.
That would be funny. We'll see. I'm nervously excited about that because I like James Gunn. I am incredibly excited about the Batman.
The Batman, Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves. I love Pattinson. I think he's a great actor.
Cedric Diggory forever.
Yeah, Colin Farrell is going to be involved.
Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this new iteration of the Batman. I didn't love Affleck as much as you did as Batman. I thought he was okay. I think Batman kind of sells himself, but it's Bruce Wayne that you have to worry about in terms of acting-wise. And I think Pattinson is like a young, new on the scene Bruce Wayne could be really fun. So I'm excited about that. Let's see. I mentioned Shazam. So I'm excited about Black Adam, Shazam 2, give me all that content. I'm not excited about the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I mean, man, I'm that's just
so
not.
Disappointing.
I'm just not.
That's
like,
so sad to hear.
I think Joss Whedon, so like, obviously some of the stuff that's come out about him is like pretty troubling and like not
very unfortunate,
like not stuff you want to hear,
as they would say on Bitch Mode, not a good look for my guy Joss.
Not a good look for our guy Joss at all. Some would say a terrible look. So I mean, I'm not gonna come on him like personally, because but professionally Joss Whedon has a history of like making good movies and pumping out some, like, even if not like Oscar worthy movies, like just solid, competent, well made movies. And Warner Brothers has no incentive to screw over Zack Snyder if there was a good movie. And I just think that if there was a good version of Justice League to be made from the film that they had, they would have put out a good Justice League.
But it was incomplete.
Oh, God. Well, okay, if Justice League Snyder Cut is good,
you take it all back.
I'll take it all back.
And you're taking me out to dinner.
And I'll take you out to dinner. Take out, because COVID.
Yeah, I'll take out.
But I'll
wear your mask, ladies and gentlemen. Be safe out there.
If the Snyder Cut is good, I will apologize on whatever episode we do that week. I will apologize on the show. So that's what I'm excited for. That's what I'm unexcited for. Brad, how about you give us your overall grade for the DC? Now we're calling just current DC, so don't don't throw in, you know, any grace because of Christian Bale's Batman.
Yeah, that's tempting. So I think for me, when I take it all to an account, including the dismal. So I'm using the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman to replace the original cut.
Sure.
So taking Man of Steel, which I was a fond of, Batman v Superman ultimate cut, Wonder Woman, Shazam, Aquaman, and then you kind of have the blunders with Suicide Squad. I have not seen, like, obviously the current Justice League is... It's bad.
Yeah, it's
like,
not good.
It's not good. It's not good. Like the mustache thing. Like, I mean, we can't go the episode without mentioning that. Like, it is bad.
So silly.
It's so bad. And just like, man, just like commit to like giving him a beard or something. Like, surely you can add a beard easier than you can take away a mustache. I don't know. Anyways, it was awful. So I'm gonna give them a solid B. I'm tempted to lean towards B minus. Just because of how disappointed I was with Justice League. But I'm going to stick at a solid B. And with an encouraging note on the side that says, hey, I know this isn't your best effort. You can do better. With an encouraging note and a sticker on the side that says, hey, you can do it, man.
Oh, man. I'm going to say, so I thought that, you know, Suicide Squad is terrible. I thought Batman v Superman was terrible. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this
Ultimate Cut
on HBO Max. And maybe that's better. I just haven't seen it. But the one that I saw in theaters, I did not enjoy. Justice League was terrible. I enjoyed Man of Steel. I didn't think it was any type of, like, you know.
You didn't think it was awful, but you didn't think it was awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't think it was any type of, like, great movie. I did not like Aquaman. Did not understand the love for Aquaman. I'll die on that hill. That's fine. Birds of Prey is good. Shazam's good. Wonder Woman's good. Most of the TV shows, I think, are like the ones that are like in the DC like universe they're creating, I think, are just kind of average.
Yeah, they're average. And it's just like, but the thing is, like, they keep making more seasons. So, yeah. Like, somebody's watching them.
No, people.
It's not us.
People watch them. It's just not. I like Lucifer. I've watched every episode of that, and I'll watch the new season when it comes out. I try to watch DC Legends of Tomorrow. I try to watch Arrowverse. I just couldn't get into it. Overall, I'm going to go C+. C+ with the note of be thankful for the women in your universe or else we'd be getting a non-passing grade.
Yeah.
You take out Harley Quinn, you take out
Wonder Be thankful for the girls in the class that are bringing up the curve.
You take out Wonder Woman, you take out Harley Quinn, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Then you only have Shazam. Failing, and we're looking at a lot lower grade. Brad, any other last thoughts or comments?
Thank you again for tuning in. We are super thankful for you all out there listening. And just remember, the S, it stands for hope. Because that's all we've got. And that's all we're holding on to with the DCEU right now. It's hope.
Love you 3000.